Welcome back. It is Birds of the Half, Sports Radio 94 WIP, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giulio live today at Chickies. An hour from now, Ike Reese will sit down with us later tonight. We'll be guest bartending at 6 o'clock. All the proceeds today for the Travis Mannion Foundation.
Slinging drinks.
Come on out. It's a great day as we talk about an Eagles team that is now 8-2. And don't forget, tailgate at Terminal E tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. Join Elliott Shore Parks at the Chickies in Terminal E of the airport and get your free Bud Light Eagles shirts while supplies last. Speaking of Elliott Shore Parks, he's with us now for the 12 o'clock hour. So you going from here to Chickies to Terminal E tomorrow. You're busy.
Yeah, going to the Eagles later today too. So I'll be back also at 3 o'clock. Busy day. But you know what? It's a lot better to talk about this team than it was 6 weeks ago. So I'm happy to do it. Yeah,
yeah, it stunk then. I would have said... I'd be shocked if we're sitting here on six straight wins, you know, six weeks ago. But here we are. Before we get to all the main stuff here, we do have some breaking news we need to react to.
94 WIP breaking news.
All right, Elliot, just as you sat down, we got the news that Bryce Huff is heading for a procedure on his wrist. So it sounds like some sort of wrist surgery for Bryce Huff, which, you know, he's been dealing with something, they've told us, for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And now going for a procedure. It was kind of unclear if it means he's out for the season. I guess there's a window for him to make it back.
So he's not out for the season. I think he will play again this year. It reminds me a little bit, obviously, different situations. But if you remember last year, towards the end of the season, Darius Slay got a procedure on his knee, and he was able to come back. And Slay says this season that he's a much better player because of it. Now, Bryce Huff, obviously a little different with a wrist. Having talked to Bryce over the past few weeks, I definitely think the wrist was impacting his play, and I think the Eagles believe that as well. But everyone that just is going to say this is no big deal, who cares, Bryce Huff isn't that good. I mean, this isn't good news for the Eagles. The defense is gelling. They're all figuring out their roles. Bryce Huff is playing on a lot of the third downs. And Bryce Huff has been a lot better since the bye than he was prior to the season. So I think it's good he's getting it done for his health and so he can be a better player. But this is a loss for the Eagles defense.
Yeah, you're talking about the rotation. As far as the rotation is concerned, not having those 10 to 15 snaps that he took.
Yeah, so 14 in the last game.
But the thing is, though, the 14 snaps he's playing are important snaps.
Like no question.
He was out there, I think, out of the 14 snaps last week, 10 of them were third downs. And Jalix Hunt, who I think it's a win for the Eagles that he can even play at this point. Like, he is a rookie that was viewed as a project. Jalix Hunt can't rush the passer yet. Certainly not as well as Bryce Huff. So Jalix Hunt's better against the run right now. But, you know, big third down. You want Bryce Huff. So not great for the Eagles defense that's been playing so well recently.
But is it a big deal? I mean, never when you have a player that's part
of rotation. Well, do you think third downs are a big deal?
They are, but I don't think he's making much of an impact on third downs. How many sacks does he have this year?
Not a ton of sacks.
That was a little snarky.
Well, I mean,
it's Birds at the bye.
If they look, there's like, I don't know, 20 players that could go down that feel like I'd be more worried than Bryce Huff. They've reduced his importance here.
I agree with that. The defense is playing well. They're all, like, learning their roles. They're gelling. I just don't think losing him is a positive. Like,
it's not beneficial.
Yeah, it's not like, I'm playing, who cares? And he was playing big downs for this team, and he was, you know, playing 10 of them a game. So, I think if he comes back from the wrist injury and he plays better, then it's a positive. But Jalix Hunt is not as good as Bryce Huff right now.
So do you think we get more Hunt snaps, or do we just increase the snaps of the guys that maybe weren't out there as much on the third down?
No, I think you'll see an increase in snaps for other people just because, again, his role was rushing the passer. Jalix Hunt, I don't think, is there yet. I think he could get there. I think he's a very promising edge rusher. But I think instead you'll see more snaps for Nolan Smith, more snaps for Brandon Graham. And you'll see Jalix Hunt out there predominantly against the run.
Yeah, Nolan was at 50% last week. It feels like he could be in the 60% range, where we could see more of him. And I'm okay with that. I feel like Nolan to me is showing some real progress this season.
Yeah, he's been much better. And I think, you know, Vic Fangio talked about this earlier in the week, and I think it's shown up on tape, that when Nolan Smith came into the league, he was a speed, like finesse edge rusher. I think he's starting to become more of an effective rusher with power. And when you're a finesse rusher and you're getting around the edge, that's all well and good, but you have to have moves to go to counter. And now that he is stronger, he's been in the NFL for a year, I think you're seeing he's more able to push offensive tackles back. And as a result, he's doing better. He's always been good against the run. Like, he's been a good run defender all year. But now that he's better against the pass and he has more tools to work with, he's definitely an effective player for them.
Yeah, I think it was the Giants game. He, like, jacked up one of the tackles and then got a sack. That I never saw him do last year. All right, Elliot with us for the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get back to all your phone calls here. 215-592-9494. It is Birds at the Half. Combo Con as well. Looking today for a multi-talented individual. Elliot, our Twitter question today, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Elliot, I didn't even realize you had a tweet this morning that was very, very similar to kind of the thought process we had today and what we're discussing. And I'm curious where you come down now that you're with us here, because 55% of the audience today in our Twitter poll say, yes, this is now a Super Bowl or bust season, but 45% don't view it that way. Elliot, 8-2, heading to the Rams on Sunday. Is this now a Super Bowl or bust season?
Yes, it is. And let me start by saying I don't normally take this path. Prior to the Super Bowl in 2022, I remember being on the phone with Angelo, right, saying,
oh, I remember this.
They didn't have to win that game. Like, it would have been amazing if they did, but, like, the future was bright. The Jalen was having his breakout year. Nick was obviously a phenomenal coach. So that wasn't a game. It wasn't a Super Bowl they had to win. But what we saw in 2023 is things don't always go out the way that you think. Yes, their window is open. They are a well-run organization. My guess is, as long as I'm lucky enough to be working with you guys here, there will not be many seasons where 10 games in, we're saying they have no shot to win the Super Bowl, because they are a well-run franchise. But the reality is, and I hate to bring the Sixers up into this with everything that's going
on. Oh, no.
But I think it's important to note, right? Like, the Sixers had multiple swings at this. They had number one seeds. They had the MVP. They were favorites in playoff series. And they blew it, right? They blew it. They didn't get it done. You only get so many swings, so many chances. The Eagles had a shot at the Super Bowl in 2022, didn't get it done. Last year, they had a chance to go back. It was obviously a disaster. If you don't win it this year, I mean, sooner or later, and Hugh, you can speak to this because you were on the early 2000s team, like, that pressure builds and builds, and it's not fun anymore, and it's not enough to go 10-2, and it's not enough to get to the second round of the playoffs. So I look at the season this year, and what's the emotional victory in not winning the Super Bowl? They've been there. They've lost it. They've been to the playoffs. They've been the one seed. They've done it all. So if they don't win it this year, I think that would be an incredibly disappointing outcome.
So I would say disappointing, but when I think bust, I think, like, it's crushing. Like, the Phillies felt like a bust. They were supposed to win the World Series last year. They're an older team. I don't know how many cracks they're going to have at being as good as they were last year. LA, you look at the Eagles, and the whole offense besides Mekhi Becton, and I think they could find another Mekhi Becton, they're back next year.
Yeah, Tyler Steen's a good player.
The defense. They have a few free agents that are going to be questionable, right? Will they pay Bond? Josh Sweat, will he come back? And Milton Williams. But for the most part, like, their young stars, Jalen Carter, their two corners, they're not going anywhere, right? They're here for years to come. It feels like they're going to have just as many good chances like this year again in the future. That's why it's not bust to me. Like, they can win the Super Bowl. I think they can win the Super Bowl. I didn't think that 6 weeks ago. But I don't feel like it's going to crush people if this team doesn't, because I think they have a runway here of 3 or 4 years.
So, but take yourself, let's fast forward. Let's say they go to Detroit and they lose the NFC Championship game. There's no shame in that. Like, Detroit's a very good team. It's hard to win in Detroit. But what's the selling point Monday morning? Like, in 2022, we could look here and say, the future is bright, Jalen's young. And I know that some of those things are still true. But there's only so many times you can justify losing by saying the future is bright. The Eagles have had a few swings at this, and they have not gotten it done. This year, the only reason not to get it done is Detroit's good. And Detroit is good, but they're not the Chiefs. They're not like a juggernaut team. The Eagles have accomplished more than the Lions. I think the Eagles have a better roster than the Lions. So if they lose to Detroit, yeah, we can sit here and go, Quinion's young, Jalen Carter's young. And that's true, but things change quickly in the NFL, like the Eagles just found out last year.
They did. And Hugh, I'm curious where you come down right now, because they did. But here's Elliot in 22. Jalen was young, you're right. Nick was just coming into his own. But they had a lot of mercenary kind of guys, right? That you knew they had to turn it over. I mean, Bradbury was not a long-term thing at his age. Mm-hmm. Even Slay was more towards the end. They've turned it over now, right? Like Carter and Quinion and Cooper. I feel like they've got the foundation now that 2 years ago I didn't know they had on both sides of the ball. Hugh, where do you come down?
I feel like to talk about your Super Bowl or bust, I feel it's that way. I understand how you understand it, Joe, but every year I think for a player, that's your mindset. Now, when you say bust, it is to a sense, but you pick up the pieces at the end of the year. But this is a year where you look at – you look around the state of the NFC. Just take that. And look at all the teams that we talked about earlier that you thought were going to be good that are really kind of middling.
It feels like two teams right now.
Yes, and it feels like the NFC is middling. So if I'm a player on this squad, I'm looking like, why not us? Because we're playing well. It's a consensus right now that this Philadelphia Eagles team has not played up to their potential. Is that a fair assessment?
I don't know.
I feel like
Well, maybe
is.
The passing game. But
well, I feel,
could
I feel,
they be better than they've played the last
I
6 weeks?
I feel like there is a sentiment where they could be better. Am I wrong in that assessment?
The passing game could be better. Do you think
I'm talking about as a team,
right?
But
how much better do we think they could be?
I think because of the start. But if you would have told me they were 8-2 right. after 10 games going in.
No, but yeah. even on Sunday, when we watch the games and we look at some of the plays that are not made and things like that, you don't feel like we could be up. Put it like this, because I think y'all getting caught on the part playing better. You don't feel like in most games that we've been in thus far that we should be two point leading by at least two touchdowns at the beginning of the game.
So I think where I agree with you is you're right. They are leaving plays on the field in the passing
yes.
game.
Yes.
Where they should be – I mean, last week – yeah, it was last week, which already feels like forever ago. But they left 7 points on the field in the kicking game.
That's,
right?
So that's the point that
yeah,
I'm making.
Yeah, so they should be up more in these
and
games.
They should be – this is a word that I like to use for Joe that it gets under – efficient. They should be more
that's
efficient.
Used, he doesn't right. want to say better. He says
no,
efficient.
They should be more efficient.
Well, I feel like you seem like a use of the word efficient guy over better.
Well, but it's also – like the Lions right now, their offense is better than the Eagles.
Efficient.
Yeah, but I think
they score 8 more points a game.
But like we talk about the Lions sometimes, like they're this unbeatable juggernaut that is like such a roadblock.
No, but they're the best team in the NFL.
The Eagles are just as good as the Lions, right? The Lions, I think you could argue, have played better. But you tell me where the Lions are significantly better than the Eagles, and I'll point to examples where the Eagles are better than the Lions.
Passing game.
I think the Eagles have better receivers. I think the Eagles' offensive line is just as good. I think the Eagles' running back position is just as good. I think the Eagles' defense is just as good. You are right. Jared Goff is a question. But get Jared Goff outside in Philadelphia.
Get him outside.
Like, you can't say that for Jalen. You feel the same about Jalen inside as you do outside. So, Goff is good, but the Lions are not, like, a full level above the Eagles.
They look like they are. They score 8 more points a game. That's an enormous amount. I mean, they're scoring 33.5 points a game.
Because they're more efficient.
Because they're I think we just don't want to say they're better.
But the Eagles have also, for what it's worth, they were missing A.J. Brown for 3 games that they've played.
That's fair.
They were missing Lane for a game. They were missing Devontae for a game, right? Look, trust me. Me and you are on the same page, Joe. I love looking at the numbers and all that. But just look at the rosters. Like, the Eagles' roster
is
better than the Lions' roster.
That's what it, you
but
know
at
what,
some
Joe?
Point, and the coaching staff's better, too.
But at some point, we have to put up – they've scored 44 different times.
That's fine.
But, like, at some point –
once you get to 30, I don't care if you get to 50. Like, I get your point, but, yes, they have blown teams out. The Eagles have not.
But that was the Eagles 2 years ago, right? The Lions remind me of the Eagles 2 years ago. They're blowing – I just think at some point, don't the Eagles have to do it before we keep saying they're as good as another team? That team does it every week.
But they've lost one fewer game.
I understand one, that. Yeah, but they
yeah, you said
lost.
But their point differential's better. They just have looked better. I mean, they've looked like I don't think.
You did say it wrong.
I don't think the Eagles can't beat them. Now, all right, let me throw this at you, and we'll go to the phone lines. 2022 Eagles, 2024. Because in your tweet this morning that I'm looking at now, you say you didn't feel this way in 2022. Do you think this team's better than 2 years ago? We obviously all know now they're better than last year's team, right? Last year's team didn't have a defense and it killed them. This year's team does. The Super Bowl team 2 years ago, this team. Is this team better? Mike Wick, with us an hour ago, said it is.
So I think it is, and I would say that for really one reason. I think it's Saquon. I think that's the difference between the two teams. I think the defense had a better pass rush in 2022, but you could argue this defense is better. Like it's pretty close there. Like Quinion versus Bradbury, you could debate all that. They just didn't have a Saquon in 2022. They had a good running game, but the difference is Saquon. So, yeah, I think this team is better. Now, if they played each other, I'd be curious to see just because that team was clicking at such a high level.
And they got off to hot starts in games. This one doesn't.
But I think this team is a better roster.
The interesting part on defense is how different they are, right? That team was built on the pass rush. This team is built more with the linebackers
than
the
front
four
versus the back seven, which is a very un-Eagles way to build a team.
It is. The whole thing is like bizarro Eagles. Signing a running back, building it this way. The main difference, though, between the two teams is the passing game. The passing game was better 2 years ago.
I would agree with that. Yeah, but like, so the passing game this year, I agree it's not as good as 2022. But when they need it, they get it. Like, they convert on third down quite a bit. So you're right that I don't think this team has an ability right now to throw it 40 times and get 400 yards. But Jalen has been very good on third downs. And so I am not as worried about – I think the passing game thing is more, to Hugh's point, why aren't you up 14 and you're only up
right.
like 7. I think that's the difference in the passing game, but I don't think the passing game loses for them.
So the one concern I have, let's just play it out. They play the Lions in the title game. Let's say the game is there, right? So the weather's not really part of it. Can the Eagles come back down? Like, if the Lions jump on them 14-0, are they built to come back? Personnel-wise, yeah, right? They have AJ, they have Devontae.
Yeah.
But it feels to me like the Eagles have to win a certain way right now, and it's working, and they're doing it, and maybe they'll do it all the way to the Super Bowl. But I just wonder that. Can they come back down 2 touchdowns when you almost have to take Saquon out of the equation a little bit?
I think they can. Just because, again, I've seen Jalen be clutch in big spots. He just has been. Like, whether that's on third downs, whether it's – I mean, in the Super Bowl, obviously he had the big major mistake. But outside of that, he really stepped up in that game. I've seen Jalen win shootouts. So, look, if they were down 14, would I bet on them to come back?
Well,
probably not. But I think they have the ability to do it.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here, and then I got a hypothetical to throw at Elliot between now and the end of the season. Let's go to Ryan, who's up on WIP. Hey, Ryan. Ryan, there, buddy.
Moment was too big.
The lights are shining bright. All right, Terrence in Springfield is ready to go. What's up, Terrence?
There we go, man. What's up, fellas?
Terrence,
what's up,
pal?
What's going on, man?
You, Joe, Kyle, Elliot, what's up? What's up, Iggy?
What up, man? Good to hear from you.
Hey,
I always enjoy listening to your calls.
I appreciate it, Iggy. Man, Kyle, man, that's my guy, man. He could be a lawyer, man. Like, I was going to go with this is going to be a bust season. Kyle,
is he badgering the witnesses again?
Yeah,
he we're not there today, and Kyle's badgering all the witnesses.
But he beats them up all the time.
I would never do that.
I told Kyle, it's 50-50. It's like a double-edged sword. Because I believe it's a make or break season this year based on the super talent that we have with AJ, with Smitty, with Saquon Barkley. Like, we have the young talent for years. That's true. We have the young talent for years to come. But also, you're not guaranteed. When's the last time you went to the Super Bowl? Was it 17? 2017?
Oh, 22.
He's talking about one.
Well, they only won it once. Yeah, obviously it doesn't happen very often.
Exactly. So I'm saying that you're not guaranteed to win the Super Bowl every year. So every year to me is a make or break season, especially we have young talent, but you're not guaranteed to make it back. Yes, we have Detroit in a way. But so there's so many teams in the league. AFC is like they have the most juggernauts, I feel like. And Detroit, I feel like they're beatable. Jared Goff proved in the Super Bowl against New England, if you put pressure on this guy, he folds. So I feel like we could beat Detroit. I feel like this is a make or break season based on the success Sirianni has had in the regular season. At some point, you got to get it done. And you can't just rely and say, oh, we have young guys for years to come. You got injuries that happen. You have people that don't get signed the next season. You don't have the same team year by year. So based on that, this year has to be a make or break season.
And here's the thing, Terrence. Here's the thing, too, about the young talent. And to be clear, I think Quinion's going to be awesome. Like, I'm in on the young talent.
Right.
But the reality is, like, next year will be a different challenge for this young talent. They will have been in the league for a full year. There'll be tape out on them. Like,
right.
So they're all playing awesome now. They're all healthy now. They're all playing awesome now. I can't just take for granted next year they'll all be playing at this level.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the league changes. I mean, that is fair. I mean, a guy like Sauce Gardner, right? He looked like the way we talk about Quinion right now, that was, what, 2 or 3 years ago with Sauce, and now he's not playing well up in New York. All right, Terrence, what do you got for us for multi-talented individual?
Man, I got a big one. I'm surprised nobody said this yet. I got a 7-foot one. This guy, Shaquille O'Neal, he's a basketball player. Mm. He's an actor. He's a rapper. He's a DJ. And I think he breakdances too. And not only that, he's a businessman. That's a huge one. Like, Shaquille O'Neal is multi-talented at what he does.
That's a very good one.
That is a very good
what's
one.
What's his name as the rapper? Diesel?
Shaq Diesel.
Is
Shaq Diesel? Wasn't he here last year?
He was at a concert, and my trainer would use Train Shaq. He was gatekeeping. He didn't want.
What do you mean? You couldn't get tickets?
Just trying to get him on the show.
That's right.
I was actually
gatekeeping
at a Super Bowl party with Shaq, and he walked right by me. I was like, oh, Shaq, what's up? And I don't think he heard me because he was so high up.
He was tall.
Yeah, just kept it moving.
You were talking to his waist.
Yeah.
You sound so little when you said that.
I felt very little when it happened.
Like, I heard it as little.
Shaq's a nice guy. I don't think he heard me.
Shaq's a really cool dude, man. He's really cool.
Do you think regular sized people like us have to yell at Shaq to get his attention? Yell up?
So I tried to compliment his shoes as like an icebreaker, and maybe he just kept it moving. Yeah.
So, all right, deep down, do you think Shaq heard you and ignored you? Or do you think he didn't hear you?
I think he probably didn't hear me. It was loud.
No, it was
a house party.
I've been around him a few times. He speaks to everybody.
All right, let me throw a hypothetical at you, Ellie, because we're discussing this Lions thing and the Eagles kind of comparison to them. If you can have one of these two things before we get to the playoffs, like Eagles and Lions, let's say they're on a collision course, and you could have either the game is here, so you get the Lions out of the dome, Goff outside, or the Eagles passing game clicks to the level we think it's supposed to. Which one would you rather have?
That's a good one. So I think the Eagles in this instance win either game. So it's just reality, which I would have more faith in. I would say here, because again, I do think the Eagles passing game is still capable of making big plays. Like we see it, like down the field, they make big plays. You know, on third down, I think they make big plays. They've converted third and 16s. They've converted, you know, third and longs. Like, so I think it's a great question, and I think if the Eagles' passing game is clicking, they could win in Detroit. But having been to Detroit a few times for games, it's a very hard place to play. So I would probably go with here.
I would go with here, too. Hugh, you, here or there?
Oh, here.
There with a better passing
here.
Game.
Here.
I just think getting Goff outside the dome.
Yeah, get him outside.
Do you think, would you pick him to win here?
Yes.
So I'm just curious how that jives with it would Super Bowl or bust.
Well, because right now they don't have home field, right? Like, so right now we're trending towards them being an underdog.
So if they were the one seed, you'd feel differently.
Yeah, because, okay. That would mean a couple things. One, that means
Detroit's falling off a little.
And the Eagles have to keep this up. Because you look at it, in order to get the number one seed, it's probably going to take 14-3. I mean, I'd be surprised if it was 13-4.
I agree, I think the Eagles can lose one more game.
One more game. And based on some of the tiebreakers, it's probably not this week against the Rams, because the Lions already beat the Rams. It probably is the Ravens game. Ravens or Steelers is probably the only game left that we could lose if we're going to get the number one seed. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Black Gritty, who's up on WIP. Hey, Black Gritty.
He's about to die. You get on that fussing. Mark the words today. Today's going to be one of those days where I agree with flip-flops, okay?
Oh, look at that.
Wow.
I must have gotten something right eventually. Yeah.
Two times a day, whatever, clock broke, whatever. Shanahan. Everybody was on Shanahan. Oh, he's the greatest coach in the world. Look at the 49ers. Getting back to NFC Championships, getting the Super Bowls, and they're the front runners for the next season. Bro, it's do or die. It's Super Bowl or bust. I don't want to hear nothing about next year. I'm in the middle of right now. Ain't no tomorrow. A meteor could come down. Saquon get on a spaceship and leave. I don't know what's going on. All of our high-end talent is secured and paid very well. But if we lose one of these chess pieces, we are going to be in a huge problem because we can afford to replace them. So right now, all I got is Super Bowl or bust. That's all I got. And I'll tell you what. I saw Jared Goff go out there to Green Bay and outplay them in a rain, sleet, snowstorm thingy. 100-mile-an-hour win. So I don't care where we play them. You got to go toe-to-toe, blow-for-blow. We got to get this George W., and we need to start punking people, Hugh, just like you talk about. More efficiency, more gangster leasy, more whatever kind of fucking words you use, you be messing up all the time. But we need to be better so that we can go out there and have that confidence against them. And you're right, we can only lose one more game. But flip-flops, you are absolutely correct. It is Super Bowl or bust.
Cut that audio. I need that quote right there. Yeah.
Hey, look, Merry Christmas. Oh, yeah, two guys that don't like Christmas on the same show.
Nah, never that.
Embarrassing for you guys. You
Who
and
doesn't
Joe
like Christmas?
Christmas?
I love Christmas.
I feel
attacked.
Yeah,
I do love Christmas. The two people that love Christmas the most are probably on
Come
this
on,
show.
Come on,
right
just because Hugh's a Grinch doesn't mean we don't like
Christmas. I enjoy Christmas to a certain extent.
Oh, come on.
I like it all. You were Santa Claus. You were saying y'all out here grumping and just messing up everybody's good time.
Yeah, but he complained.
And you take,
I'm always
making everybody grumpy. Y'all don't like Christmas.
We like Christmas. All right, Black, what do you got for us? Multi-talented individual.
The guy that knows all the sports, Bo knows. Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson.
Cars, basketball, baseball, everything. He's mad at that. Yeah,
I'll tell you what.
Good stuff, Black Gritty. We appreciate it. Bo Jackson's a big one.
I mean, it is. I like Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson's like when you think sports multi-talented, he's the first one you think.
Bo was that dude, man.
Well, can Bo luck into a home run, score a goal in basketball, and can he do all that? Score a touchdown?
I think Bo could have if you gave him a chance.
Bo was a phenomenal.
Bo would have had a better chance than you.
Has anyone said me yet?
No.
Okay.
Fair. Kyle, are there any?
I caught that.
Any Elliott's on the board here that we're getting to this segment? Any
Elliott's in.
Okay. Just make it.
There we go.
215-592-9494. We're live today. Chickies of Pizza, South Philly, for Birds of the Half, benefiting the Travis Manion Foundation. A portion of the proceeds of all crab fries sold today will be donated to the Travis Manion Foundation. Are your phone calls coming up? Multi-talented individuals for CombOcon. We'll let you hear one of our multi-talented individuals, all their highlights coming up on the other side. Elliott hangs out for the segment. All right, we've talked about a potential Eagles-Lions matchup where we had an expert give us a hypothetical spread in an Eagles-Lions game. If the game was played this weekend, who would be favored if the game was here? Who would be favored if the game was in Detroit? We'll hit you with that next. Your calls. It is Birds of the Bye. Elliott on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show live today at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Join us even at 6 for a special guest bartending event with Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. And today, 50% off all crab fries purchased here today will go towards the Travis Mannion Foundation. You can enter for an incredible group of prizes. I mean, 2024 Eagles trip from fans of Philly, Lane Johnson autographed merchandise, WIP Studios, and more. And you can sit in with us. So come on out, Chickies and Pete's. Be here doing the shows all day. Afternoon show.
Are you making a drink? You making a drink later?
If they let me.
I'd be curious to see, you know, your mixology game is.
Well, last year they had the Ike Juice. Do you remember that?
They did, yes. Now, that was a hit.
It became very popular to where they had to make more Ike Juice.
So we'll be serving Ike Juice today.
I hope so. I had some. I don't even know what was in it. It was really good.
Yeah.
Hugh, you having some Ike Juice tonight?
No.
Oh, come on.
Hugh didn't strike me as a trying Ike
Juice. No, because like Ike likes mixed drinks. I don't do mixed drinks.
Oh, you don't do mixed? Well, no. I learned that the last time I did one of these tailgates at the gate thing. Yeah,
because I got him drinking straight shots.
Yeah, like five of them at 7 in the morning before we got on the plane. Yeah.
Was that when you guys were in Kansas City?
Yeah, well, we were in the Chickies at the airport when we did that. But yeah. It was a fun day.
Yeah, it was a nice day.
We went to the brewery after. It was a good time.
Yeah. That sounds like fun. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls in a second. And, of course, it is Combo-Con. We'll tell you all about that and what we're looking for to qualify. Our last qualifier today. But – guys, we keep talking about this Eagles-Lions thing, right? It feels like they're on a collision course, best two teams in the NFC. So I reached out to a guy that I knew when I used to do a BetQL show. This guy covers sports betting, and he talks to like people that make the lines all the time. So I asked him, hypothetical, if they played this week, what would the line on the game be?
In Detroit?
Both, in Detroit and here. So here is what he gave me. I want you to tell me if you think this – like where would you lean in terms of if you're betting on it? Because I was a little bit surprised at the numbers that came back. So these odds are from Jeff Sherman. He runs the Superbook in Las Vegas. If they played today in Detroit, Lions -4.5 in the game. If the game is here.
I was thinking 5, so.
If the game is here, Lions -2.5.
Eagles home dogs?
Eagles 2.5 home
Get
dogs.
The masks
that's
back out.
Reminiscent of 7 years ago. What do you make of that, Elliot?
Well, I would bet on the Eagles here, for sure. Especially if you're getting points. On the road, that's a man. I've seen a lot of Eagles teams crater to the pressure of like a dome environment.
Like
I've seen
Saints game in 2018.
Yeah, and I mean, and remember,
it's loud in the dome,
I know it's two different teams, so who cares? But like in the Thanksgiving, they went and got smacked around there, and that was the end of Chip. Like,
oh, that game was so bad. It was Megatron, right? It was dominating.
Yeah, I would probably take the Eagles +4.5 just because I think it could be a field goal game, but. I'd be a little worried because, to your point, Detroit really gets going in that dome.
Yeah, and they just like to rev it up. I mean, if they get up, it changes the whole equation for
the Eagles. That's where the slow starts could hurt the Eagles. Like, if you're NFC Championship game against Detroit, it's asking a lot of your defense to hold them to, let's say, like, I don't know, 7 points on their first two possessions.
Of course.
Yeah, like, that's a tough go for that team.
Yeah, there's no question. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines. Will in the Northeast is up on WIP. Hey, Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
What hey, up, Will. What's up, buddy?
You know what, Joe? I like that question you asked. If the Eagles are down, you know, a score, will they be able, or two scores, will they be able to come back? That's something that, you know, since you brought that up, that's something that they really need to work on. You know what I mean? Because these next teams, the Rams, Ravens, Steelers, Lions, and if we make it to the Super Bowl, and if they make it to the Super Bowl, also the Chiefs, they could be in that type of situation, man, and they need some great plays to get them drives going, keep them going, and, you know, hopefully get a win out of them. You know what I mean? So, you know, hopefully listening to this and, you know, they can actually start working on that, you know. But as far as we keep saying, well, we could lose a game. Let's stop saying that, please. That's the most irritating thing I ever heard of giving away any type of games. Let's stop saying that. If we win it, we want to keep winning. Okay, yeah, it's a possibility that we could lose or whatever, but let it be a possibility. But right now, we win it. Let's keep it on that same pace. All right? What I wanted to say about Jalen, man, you know, I've been seeing a lot of times they forcing Jalen right. You know, and I would like them to design a play with, like I said, either Dotson or Skinny Batman as they forcing them right. Let somebody come in the slant to the left. And guess what? When you watch them games, you watch how much of field is open when they do that, when they force them to the right. You know, something that they could, you know, look into. Last but not least, I just want to say this one last thing about Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid, listen, man, everybody know you're a great player. You standing on your own feet. You're in your own way right now. You see the effect that you're having on your teammates, your fans, and everything. Guess what, man? You're making yourself look bad, not only to yourself but to a lot of teams, because they know what they're going to get, even if you want to get traded. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yesterday was a terrible look for him, Will. Like, it's one thing to debate his play and is it great enough, good enough. Like, that's basketball stuff. Like, yesterday when when a teammate's calling you in front of the rest, and, Will, we appreciate it, it's bad. L.A., where are you on the MB thing right now? Because yesterday, or obviously it was two nights ago, but yesterday when it came out, it just felt like a different element to the whole MB debate. It's not just about, hey, is he great but not great enough to win a title? Now it's about his teammates are saying stuff to him. It hit a nerve for me. Like, that's – for Maxi to have to do that,
yeah.
I just wonder how bad it was for Maxi to be like, enough, man.
I mean, Joe, we've been talking Philly sports for a long time. Like, can you remember a team going from a title contender to maybe in big trouble for years to come this quickly? I mean, a month ago, we thought the Sixers were going to be one of the best teams in the East, and who knows what happened in the playoffs. But, you know, Paul George and – now, I look at this team, and I can't help but think of these contracts they handed out. So when it comes to yesterday, yeah, it's a terrible look for Embiid. Like, come on, man. You can't be late to things enough where they have to bring it up. Like, I don't think we're talking about one or two times.
No.
If they have to bring it up in a team meeting and then it gets leaked, this has obviously been a big problem. But my biggest thought on the Embiid thing is, yesterday is bad. It's a bad look. It's frustrating. The real problem here is I think Embiid is cooked physically. And he can be on time all he wants moving forward. Maybe it'll be a wake-up call. If that knee isn't responding, then I just feel like I've lost hope. And I've had so much hope with this Sixers
team.
Well,
you can make a case it's the worst three-game stretch of his career, the last three games. I mean,
yeah.
He attempted zero free throws the other night.
He's averaging 14 points.
He looks like he's either not ready or cooked, and then he's not showing up on time. Hugh, it's unbelievable.
Do you know what the reality of this situation is? There were telltale signs of this during the Olympics.
Yep.
When Steve Kerr, like, when there was a time where they benched Joel and nobody said anything.
Like, they were better without him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody said anything, but he played him because he kind of knew what the ramifications would have been. This is almost the equivalent of a train, you know, on the tracks, and you get your car stuck on the tracks. You saw the train coming. But you still try to cross. You know, you're trying
I'm
to cross.
I'm jumping out of the car and
man,
I'm leaving it there.
And again, think of how bad it feels now.
Yeah.
Think about a year from now. Think about 2 years from now.
When George is 38,
they have 37. Him under contract for four more years. Paul George, I think, has actually been okay, but his numbers this year are comparable to what Tobias is doing in Detroit. So, like,
hey, wait a minute, say that again.
His numbers are comparable
so
to what
to
Tobias
hear.
Is doing
laugh,
in Detroit.
Hugh.
Congratulations,
so,
Tobias Harris.
I just think it's ironic because, like, they got mad at me, just as full disclosure. When he came in here and he kind of balled out a little
bit.
Yeah,
of course he did. Yeah.
Because she was reveling in it. Because he's
not reveling
Tobias
in it.
Well,
guy.
People were harsh to Tobias when he was here.
No, I wasn't reveling in it. I just found the irony in it. See,
yeah.
It's a big difference. I'm not reveling in anybody's pain. I just was, damn, he came all the way back here to do that. And he didn't even show up in the playoffs. That's crazy work.
Well, the tough thing, too, is with the Eagles, if they hand out a bad contract, you can just get out of it. And, like,
yeah.
I mean, they got rid of Carson's deal, what, two years after
yeah,
they gave it to him?
Yeah, you stuck with this one.
They already might have two of the worst contracts in the NBA on their books. Like, you eventually might have to attach picks to these players to get rid of them or just ride it out for 4 years. So it's really bad. I don't know what to say. And it's a caution to the Eagles. I know the NFL is different, but the Sixers had a bunch of swings at it. It didn't happen, and now look at them.
Yeah, and also, you asked, like, is it reminiscent to anything? Like, last time I could think of this. It's a little bit like the Phillies. It could be like that, 2012, 13, 14.
Only worse.
Only worse. And there's no great – like, the Phillies at least gave the memories of a World Series and all those runs. So, like, people weren't really angry at watching the end of Chase and the end of Ryan. It was more sad. This is like, you didn't even give anything to him.
Well, so this is where I think we might differ. The Embiid, the ending of it is frustrating for sure. But what's most frustrating and sad about this to me is Embiid did deserve a title. Like, Embiid has been one of the best players in the NBA for a long stretch.
Well, you don't just deserve a title.
No, but I'm saying, like, they've been the one seed. He's won MVP. It's not like this has been a disaster
no, well, been
of
good.
A run. And And now it's over. Like, maybe it all comes together this year. Who knows?
But I think the NBA era is over.
I mostly agree with you. Yeah. I mean, he's on the roster.
Yeah,
so.
But I would think – but sometimes, like, things end and it takes the team a while to acknowledge it and do it. If I had to guess right now, he's on a different team next season.
And I think tonight is such an indication. If he comes out tonight and scores 30 points – I will still feel bad about the team, but at least I'll know, okay, push comes to shove, he still has it in him to do it. If he comes out there tonight and it's 15 points again, then if you can't respond tonight, you know he wants to. So physically, can he do it tonight? Like, tonight is it. Like, they have to win.
I think, to be fair to him in this situation, you're looking at the effort. Because I don't think the performance is going to be there, because I don't think he's ramped up. I don't think he's in the shape that he needs to be to give you that kind of
But do you think he can get in that shape? That's my question.
Well, he can hang on. Put it like this, Elliot. And I'm not being sarcastic or smarty pants or anything like that. He's not about to get into shape from the time that they had the conversation. It's going to take a while.
No.
It's more
but
the effort.
But being on time and the effort.
Well, yeah, effort.
That shouldn't be
more
hard.
Like, tonight, I want to see the effort. The production might not be there. That's what I'm trying to say. No, it might not be there because he might not physically be in position.
But past tonight, my question for you is just, do you think he, like, even a month from now, like, do you think he even physically can be what he used to be, or do you think this knee is just...
That's a good question, Elliot, because now when you ask that question, it makes me ask more questions, because now I'm wondering how hard has he worked
right
to come back from his first knee injury? How hard did he actually work to come back from the surgery? I don't know. And it feels like, and I'm not trying to be mean, but it feels like because of what has just come out that he probably didn't put the type of work in he needed
I
to
agree
put in to have himself to be in the best position where he allows his knee to
get
better.
Well, there was a report, Shams had it yesterday on the McAfee show, saying yet the day of the game Monday, they didn't hear from him all day, didn't know if he was in or out all day, and then he just showed up. Like, That's the kind of stuff, like, what is that?
But you know what's crazy? He legitimately looks way skinnier. Like, clearly he's lost weight. He must, I know it was like the 30-pound thing, but you just look at him out there. He obviously is skinnier than he's been in past years. I haven't seen him look like this since, like, rookie year, Embiid. So he's been putting in work. It's not, you know, I think you don't lose 30 pounds by being lazy all summer. So clearly he put in work. But to your point, Joe, there is no shot this story comes out if this wasn't weeks of frustration with him.
Oh, you're right. And I can't wait to hear them after the game tonight, win or lose. Because this is the first time they're going to talk after we know, right? Like, they all downplayed it the night Joel said, what meeting?
Yeah, and can I offer some free PR advice to Joel?
Go ahead.
I would not joke about it.
No.
Like, I think this is...
The
this
appetite
is,
for that's not
this
there.
This is a serious situation right now. Even if you score 30 and you win and the vibes are good, like, I think the joking stuff, people are too frustrated for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, and I'm a troll situation.
Not going to work. All right, speaking of serious stuff here, actually the opposite of that, we have Combo-Con going on. Midday Show's Ultimate Tailgate Giveaway. Your chance to win a Jack Daniels Eddie Cooler, Cornhole Set, Giant Jenga, Gerhardt Smoker, and a 55-inch TV. Qualifying prize today. It's our last qualifier, and then everyone will be thrown in there. We'll pick out a winner of the 10 qualifiers. Today you win rocks glasses, water bottle, golf tee pack, playing cards, wood chips, and a tote bag. So, Elliot, today we were looking for multi-talented individuals. And Kyle put this together because we have our own multi-talented individual right here on the Midday Show.
King drops the throw. And it's hit just as he let the ball go, or did he let it go?
I'll tell you, Hugh Douglas came from that backside and really unloaded on Sean King.
It's the Philadelphia Eagles ball.
The 25, the design rollout by Miller, going for Des White in a woefully underthrown pass, and Jim Miller is holding on to his right arm and shoulder as he comes off the field.
Looks like Hugh Douglas driving Jim Miller into the ground.
You? What do you mean you're out of the deal? You told me you wanted to diversify.
Look here, Stanley. Why should Hugh Douglas get one bull for $100,000 when for that I can get a whole bunch of cows?
Exactly. Yeah, cows? What are you going to do with cows?
We like steak. Porterhouse.
The way that this team is playing right now, I mean, there's no doubt that defense is in the set. Eric Bieniemy, it be a legit threat. A legit threat. Those. I can't even get it out now.
Phil attack.
I
stay out too late. Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say.
I think this is good.
That's what people say.
You have like some flag, some swag.
Living in this big blue
world with my head up and out of space. I know I'll be A-O-A-O-K.
This one
I know I'll be A-O-A-O-K. When I see Trump. Oh, I blew that part.
Elliot, how would you rank the talents of Hugh Douglas? We had an all-pro pass rusher, right? Actor.
It was good, yeah. The voice for the acting was like young, smooth Hugh was interesting.
Would you say that Hugh's best attribute is acting? I mean, you have talk show host.
I'm telling you, I think the singing of the CeeLo song was, there was like a unique vibe to that.
Hugh, what would you say you were best at? At your best?
I'm saying it's kind of hard to say, Joe, because I was so talented in everything that I touched. I kind of made it my own.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of hard to say.
Okay.
You know, so if I had to pick one of my multifaceted talents that I was adept at, I would have to say radio host is my best.
Have you been a radio host longer than you were a football player now?
Yes, I have.
Oh, so this is your thing.
This is my niche.
You've done more in this.
Yes,
than that.
Well, this is my niche.
Considering your history acting, would you, if you could pick, would you have like had the Eagles Hall of Fame career that you did, or would you have rather been like a massive actor, like a, you know, big time,
like
Leonardo
Denzel,
DiCaprio, yeah. Denzel, Brad Pitt?
I mean, I'm kind of in that realm.
Both.
Rub elbows with those guys.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Rub elbows?
Nah, lie. Okay, that's a lie.
That's a big lie.
That's a big old lie.
All right, 215-592-9494. Multi-talented individual like our Hugh Douglas. Andy in Westchester. What's up, Andy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Andy. What's up?
You took my – Hugh was my choice as soon as Kyle asked me the question, and you went right through it.
Now, when you think it, do you think actor? Is it a singer, or is it the football player and the talk show host?
Obviously football player, but outside of that, it's the actor.
Actor
is the best.
That's what everyone thinks when they think of Hugh. Acting. Yeah, sure. Go ahead,
Andy. Listen to those highlights. Hugh, just curious, what does it feel like to just level someone like that?
You mean like
Sean King?
Like to take out my frustrations on an individual and not get in trouble for it? Oh, it's liberating.
When you listen to that, do you get excited? Like, oh, my God, I wish I could do that.
You know, like you could like put your hands on somebody and no, there's no recourse. That's a great feeling. Oh, it's a great feeling.
I can imagine.
If you play today,
if I played, I'd probably get fined.
Well, that's what I mean. They'd take your money away.
Yeah, I'd probably get fined.
He wouldn't have played in the game after the Bears game, probably.
Probably been sitting at home in anger management or something.
But you guys would be in the game.
Miller
so.
Hit, you would have.
Yeah.
So, and anyway, before we go on, I'm not really feeling the exciting whites. And I was mentioned to Kyle as well. Like, would you say that that Blankenship and DeGene, they play pretty tight coverage?
I would. Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Tighty whities.
Oh, the tighty whities.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
That's clever.
I mean, there's a lot of nicknames for them. The bread and butter on the afternoon show.
I like exciting whites myself.
Exciting whites, yeah.
Yes.
Bread and butter's good too, though.
Not better than exciting whites.
So, do we decide who's bread and who's butter? Did they figure that out?
I think Reed Blankenship is butter. Just because I think he signed the stick of butter.
Okay.
Cooper's at a bread. Office. I think so. Yeah.
All right.
I would see it the other way because I think the jeans more. He's smoother.
So he is smoother. He's definitely. I think you're right, actually, Andy, on this. DeGene is a more smooth athlete.
Well, I'm just saying, I think he did sign a
Well, yeah,
of
he
butter.
Was multi-talented, though. He's a
Cooper?
Multi-talented. Yeah.
Basketball, too.
Yeah. So there's highlights?
He can play.
He can play.
He can return kicks, too.
He can. Should they keep doing that, by the way?
No.
He's too good on defense to be returning punts.
And by the way, assuming Bryce Huff goes on IR, which I would guess he is, that does open it up for Covey.
Is he healthy?
Back.
It's around that time, right?
It's around that time. I've seen him like doing stuff off to the side.
Okay.
I've seen him
running.
That's
probably why they put him on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I would put Covey back at punt returner. You can't have one of your best players on defense returning punts.
And one that plays like 90% of the snaps.
And
now.
Covey's good at returning punts. Like he might be rusty initially, but I mean he was really good at it last year.
You're right on this, Elliot. They should put Covey back there. All right, go ahead, Andy. Super Bowl or bust?
All right. Always. Every year Super Bowl or bust for me.
But what if they're bad?
I mean in my mind, every game they play, they're going to win at the beginning of the game. And then I get mad as they
I like that, actually.
The day progresses.
Right.
Not realistic, but emotional. I like that. That sounds like WIP.
Yeah. And also, since Elliot brought it up, Embiid doesn't deserve anything. He's got to earn it. And that's, I think, where he's been his whole life. You think about what it took for Maxey. Maxey has worked his butt off to get where he is. So he has to have been fed up. And at this point, I hope that they're the way they feel is, you know, we have galvanized the team. At least we're all together. We're a team. We're on the same page. You're either coming with us or you're not. That's how I hope it's been laid out, and that's where I hope it's going, because it's really, at this point, he's holding everybody back. And I hate to say it, because I won't say an apologizer, but I was a believer.
They can't go nowhere without him. You know, it's frustrating.
They can if they move on after this.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a while.
I mean,
though.
For this year, he's going to be.
Nobody
be
is
a while,
trading
though.
For Joel Embiid.
Oh, I disagree.
Nobody Someone is taking would. On. So you're telling me there's a world where we all think they should trade Embiid at the end of the year, and a team is taking him? No,
I mean, there's
4 years left on that
but there's
deal.
There's desperate bad teams in
but
the
NBA. But he is one of he could be the worst contract in the like this is borderline John Wall status. Remember that deal? Washington could ever get off that.
But they did trade it eventually to the Clippers, didn't
but
they?
But at the last year when it was an expiring, I'm
right.
pretty sure.
Right.
Like Joel does.
Well, that contract extension is a disaster.
I agree. It's one of the worst contracts I've seen hand out in my time like covering Philly sports.
Elliot, your guest on tonight, does he play well? Do they play well? I mean, this is a double whammy. You would think he's going to respond mentally. He has to because he was just called out by his friend and teammate. But can he respond physically? Can he answer that bell?
I think he has it in him at times. Like, they'll have a game where he's awesome and then two games where he isn't. So I think there's a chance, but I've not lost faith in a team quicker in the Sixers team than I have any other team over the past.
2-11 will do that.
It's unbelievable. It's not even the record. It's just Joel and the injury, and Paul George looks mediocre, and it's not good.
All right, Elliot, we end with this. Gut feeling. You could change it by Sunday when we do the pregame show. Gut feeling, another Eagles win?
There'll be no changing of it. I think the Eagles win. I think they're better than the Rams. I think they're playing well. And I'll say this, if they win on Sunday, then it's house money versus Baltimore. Like, whatever happens against Baltimore happens. But you win Sunday, and you know it's okay to go to Baltimore and maybe lose, and as long as you compete.
And for the number one seed, this is the bigger game.
Yeah, it's a huge game.
Yeah, we'll do it on Sunday during the pregame show, breaking down the scenarios. But it's really hard to see the path for the Eagles having the number one seed unless they win this game.
I agree.
Because the Lions already beat the Rams, and they got to win this game on Sunday. Elliot, thank you for joining
us.
And at Birds to Half. All right,
see you guys
up.
Later.
We'll see you later. Elliot will be here all day.
Guest
bartending. All right, coming up on the other side, we continue the show. Your calls, CombOcon, your chance to win the Ultimate Midday Show tailgate giveaway. 215-592-9494. Is this a Super Bowl or bust season now for the Eagles? Ike Reese joins us next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show live today at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Join us this evening at 6 for a special guest bartending event with Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. And today, 50% off all crab fries purchased here today will go towards the Travis Mannion Foundation. You can enter for an incredible group of prizes. I mean, 2024 Eagles trip from fans of Philly, Lane Johnson autograph merchandise, WIP Studios, and more. And you can sit in with us. So come on out, Chickies and Pete's. Be here doing the shows all day. Afternoon show.
Are you making a drink? You making a drink later?
If they let me.
I'll be curious to see, you know, how your mixology game is.
Well, last year they had the Ike juice. Do you remember that?
They did, yes. Now, that was a hit.
It became very popular to where they had to make more Ike juice.
So we'll be serving Ike juice today.
I hope so. I had some. I don't even know what was in it. It was really good.
Yeah.
Hugh, you having some Ike juice tonight?
No.
Oh, come on.
Hugh didn't strike me as a trying to Ike
juice. No, because like Ike likes mixed drinks. I don't do mixed.
Oh, you don't do mixed? Well, no. I learned that the last time I did one of these tailgates at the gate thing. Yeah,
because I got him drinking straight shots.
Yeah, like five of them at 7 in the morning before we got on the plane. Yeah.
Was that when you guys were in Kansas City?
Yeah, well, we were in the Chickies at the airport when we did that. But yeah. It was a fun day.
Yeah, it was a nice day.
We went to the brewery after. It was a good time.
Yeah. That sounds like fun. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls in a second. And, of course, it is Combo-Con. We'll tell you all about that and what we're looking for to qualify. Our last qualifier today. But guys, we keep talking about this Eagles-Lions thing, right? It feels like they're on a collision course, best two teams in the NFC. So I reached out to a guy that I knew when I used to do a BetQL show. This guy covers sports betting, and he talks to like people that make the lines all the time. So I asked him, hypothetical, if they played this week, what would the line on the game be?
In Detroit?
Both, in Detroit and here. So here is what he gave me. I want you to tell me if you think this – like, where would you lean in terms of if you're betting on it? Because I was a little bit surprised at the numbers that came back. So these odds are from Jeff Sherman. He runs the Superbook in Las Vegas. If they played today in Detroit, Lions -4.5 in the game. If the game is here.
I was thinking 5, so.
If the game is here, Lions -2.5.
Eagles home dogs?
Eagles 2.5 home
dogs.
Get the
masks back out.
That's reminiscent of 7 years ago. What do you make of that, Elliot?
Well, I would bet on the Eagles here. For sure, especially if you're getting points. On the road, that's a man. I've seen a lot of Eagles teams crater to the pressure of like a dome environment.
Like
I've
that Saints game in 2018.
Yeah, and I mean, and remember,
it's loud in the dome,
I know it's two different teams, so who cares? But like in the Thanksgiving, they went and got smacked around there, and that was the end of Chip. Like,
oh, that game was so bad. It was Megatron, right? It was dominating.
Yeah. I would probably take the Eagles +4.5 just because I think it could be a field goal game. But I'd be a little worried because, to your point, Detroit really gets going in that dome.
Yeah, and they just like to rev it up. I mean, and if they get up, it changes the whole equation for the Eagles.
That's where the slow starts could hurt the Eagles. Like, if you're NFC Championship game against Detroit, it's asking a lot of your defense to hold them to, let's say, like, I don't know, 7 points on their first two possessions.
Of course.
Yeah, like that's a tough go for that team.
Yeah, there's no question. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines. Will in the Northeast is up on WIP. Hey, Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
What up, Will? What's up, buddy?
You know what, Joe? I like that question you asked. If the Eagles are down, you know, a score, will they be able, or two scores, will they be able to come back? That's something that, you know, since you brought it up, that's something that they really need to work on. You know what I mean? Because these next teams, the Rams, Ravens, Steelers, Lions, and if we make it to the Super Bowl and if they make it to the Super Bowl, also the Chiefs, they could be in that type of situation, man, and they need some great plays to get them drives going, keep them going, and, you know, hopefully get a win out of them. You know what I mean? So, you know, hopefully in listening to this and, you know, they can actually start working on that, you know. But as far as we keep saying, well, we could lose a game. Let's stop saying that, please. That's the most irritating thing I ever heard of giving away any type of games. Let's stop saying that. If we win it, we want to keep winning. Okay, yeah, it's a possibility that we could lose or whatever, but let it be a possibility. But right now, we win it. Let's keep it on that same pace, all right? What I wanted to say about Jalen, man, you know, I've been seeing a lot of times they forcing Jalen right, you know. And I would like them to design a play with, like I said, either Dotson or Skinny Batman as they forcing him right. Let somebody come in and slant to the left. And guess what? When you watch them games, you watch how much of field is open when they do that, when they force him to the right. You know, something that they could, you know, look into. Last but not least, I just want to say this one last thing about Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid, listen, man, everybody know you're a great player. You standing on your own feet. You in your own way right now. You see the effect that you having on your teammates, your fans, and everything. Guess what, man? You making yourself look bad, not only to yourself but to a lot of teams, because they know what they're going to get, even if you want to get traded. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yesterday was a terrible look for him, Will. Like, it's one thing to debate his play and is it great enough, good enough. Like, that's basketball stuff. Like, yesterday when his when a teammate's calling you in front of the rest, and, Will, we appreciate it, it's bad. L.A., where are you on the MB thing right now? Because yesterday, or obviously it was two nights ago, but yesterday when it came out, it just felt like a different element to the whole MB debate. It's not just about, hey, is he great but not great enough to win a title? Now it's about his teammates are saying stuff to him. It hit a nerve for me. Like, that's – for Maxi to have to do that,
yeah.
I just wonder how bad it was for Maxi to be like, enough, man.
I mean, Joe, we've been talking Philly sports for a long time. Like, can you remember a team going from a title contender to maybe in big trouble for years to come this quickly? I mean, a month ago, we thought the Sixers were going to be one of the best teams in the East, and who knows what happened in the playoffs. But, you know, Paul George and – now, I look at this team, and I can't help but think of these contracts they handed out. So, when it comes to yesterday, yeah, it's a terrible look for Embiid. Like, come on, man. You can't be late to things enough where they have to bring it up. Like, I don't think we're talking about one or two times.
No.
If they have to bring it up in a team meeting and then it gets leaked, this has obviously been a big problem. But my biggest thought on the Embiid thing is, yesterday is bad. It's a bad look. It's frustrating. The real problem here is I think Embiid is cooked physically. And he can be on time all he wants moving forward. Maybe it'll be a wake-up call. If that knee isn't responding, then I just feel like I've lost hope. And I've had so much hope with the Sixers
team.
Well,
you can make a case it's the worst three-game stretch of his career, the last three games. I mean,
yeah.
he attempted zero free throws the other night.
He's averaging 14 points.
He looks like he's either not ready or cooked, and then he's not showing up on time. Hugh, it's unbelievable.
Do you know what the reality of this situation is? There were telltale signs of this during the Olympics.
Yep.
When Steve Kerr, like, when there was a time where they benched Joel and nobody said anything.
Like, they were better without him.
Yes. Yeah. Nobody said anything, but he played him because he kind of knew what the ramifications would have been. This is almost the equivalent of a train, you know, on the tracks, and you get your car stuck on the tracks. You saw the train coming. But you still try to cross. You know, you're trying
I'm
to
jumping
cross
out
tracks.
Of the car and
man,
I'm leaving it there.
But again, think of how bad it feels now.
Yeah.
Think about a year from now. Think about 2 years from now.
When they George is 38,
they have 37. Him under contract for four more years. Paul George, I think, has actually been okay, but his numbers this year are comparable to what Tobias is doing in Detroit. So, like,
hey, wait a minute, say that again.
His numbers are comparable
so
to what
to
Tobias
hear.
Is doing
laugh,
in Detroit.
Hugh.
Congratulations,
no,
Tobias Harris.
I just think it's ironic because, like, they got mad at me. Just as full disclosure, they
as
got,
we should have.
When he came in here and he kind of balled out a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, of course he did.
Out.
Yeah,
because she was reveling in it. Because
I was not reveling in it.
Well,
guy.
People were harsh to Tobias when he was.
No,
here.
I'm not. I wasn't reveling in it. I just found the irony in it. See,
yeah.
It's a big difference. I'm not reveling in anybody's pain. I just was. Damn, he came all the way back here to do that. And he didn't even show up in the playoffs. That's crazy work.
Well, the tough thing, too, is with the Eagles, if they hand out a bad contract, you can just get out of it. And like,
yeah.
I mean, they got rid of Carson's deal, what, two years after
yeah,
they gave it to
him? Yeah, you're stuck with this one.
They already might have two of the worst contracts in the NBA on their books. Like, you eventually might have to attach picks to these players to get rid of them or just ride it out for 4 years. So it's really bad. I don't know what to say. And it's a caution to the Eagles. I know the NFL is different, but the Sixers had a bunch of swings at it. It didn't happen. And now look at them.
Yeah, and also, you asked, like, is it reminiscent to anything? Like, last time I could think of this. It's a little bit like the Phillies. It could be like that. 2012, 13, 14.
Only worse.
Only worse. And there's no great – like, the Phillies at least gave the memories of a World Series and all those runs. So, like, people that weren't really angry at watching the end of Chase and the end of Ryan. It was more sad. This is like, you didn't even give anything to
anybody. Well, so this is where I think we might differ. The ending of it is frustrating for sure. But what's most frustrating and sad about this to me is Embiid did deserve a title. Like, Embiid has been one of the best players in the NBA for a long stretch.
Well, you don't just deserve a title.
No, but I'm saying, like, they've been the one seed. He's won MVP. It's not like this has been a disaster
no, well, they've been
of
good.
A run. And And now it's over. Like, maybe it all comes together this year. Who knows?
But I think the Embiid era is over.
I mostly agree with you. Yeah. I mean, he's on the roster.
Yeah,
so.
But I would think. But sometimes, like, things end and it takes the team a while to acknowledge it and do it. If I had to guess right now, he's on a different team next season.
And I think tonight is such an indication. If he comes out tonight and scores 30 points, I will still feel bad about the team, but at least I'll know, okay, push comes to shove, he still has it in him to do it. If he comes out there tonight and it's 15 points again, then if you can't respond tonight, you know he wants to. So physically, can he do it tonight? Like, tonight is it. Like, they have to win.
I think, to be fair to him in this situation, you're looking at the effort. Because I don't think the performance is going to be there, because I don't think he's ramped up. I don't think he's in the shape that he needs to be to give you that kind
of. But do you think he can get in that shape? That's my question.
Well, he can't hang on. Put it like this, Ellen. I'm not being sarcastic or smarty pants or anything like that. He's not about to get into shape from the time that they had the conversation. It's going to take a while.
No.
It's more
but
the
being
effort.
On time and the effort.
Well, yeah, the effort.
That
it's
be
more
hard.
Like tonight, I want to see the effort. The production might not be there. That's what I'm trying to say. No, it might not be there because he might not physically be in position.
But past tonight, my question for you is just, do you think he, like, even a month from now, like, do you think he even physically can be what he used to be, or do you think this knee is just...
That's a good question, Elliot, because now when you ask that question, it makes me ask more questions, because now I'm wondering how hard has he worked to come back from his first knee injury? How hard did he actually work to come back from the surgery? I don't know. And it feels like, and I'm not trying to be mean, but it feels like because of what has just come out that he probably didn't put the type of work in he needed put in to have himself to be in the best position where he allows his knee to get
better.
Well,
there was a report. Shams had it yesterday on the McAfee show saying the day of the game Monday, they didn't hear from him all day, didn't know if he was in or out all day, and then he just showed up. Like, that's the kind of stuff, like, what is that?
But you know what's crazy? He legitimately looks way skinnier. Like, clearly he's lost weight. He must, I know it was like the 30-pound thing, but you just look at him out there. He obviously is skinnier than he's been in past years. I haven't seen him look like this since, like, rookie year, Embiid. So he's been putting in work. It's not, you know, I think you don't lose 30 pounds by being lazy all summer. So clearly he put in work. But to your point, Joe, there is no shot this story comes out if this wasn't weeks of frustration with him.
Oh, you're right. And I can't wait to hear them after the game tonight, win or lose, because this is the first time they're going to talk after we know, right? Like, they all downplayed it the night Joel said, what meeting?
Yeah, and can I offer some free PR advice to Joel?
Go ahead.
I would not joke about it.
No.
Like, I think this is...
The
this
appetite
is,
for that's not
this
there.
This is a serious situation right now. Even if you score 30 and you win and the vibes are good, like, I think the joking stuff, people are too frustrated for
it. Yeah, I'm a troll situation.
Not going to work. All right, speaking of serious stuff here, actually the opposite of that, we have Combo-Con going on, Midday Show's Ultimate Tailgate Giveaway. Your chance to win a Jack Daniels Eddie Cooler, Cornhole Set, Giant Jenga, Gerhardt Smoker, and a 55-inch TV. Qualifying prize today. It's our last qualifier, and then everyone will be thrown in there. We'll pick out a winner of the 10 qualifiers. Today you win rocks glasses, water bottle, golf tee pack, playing cards, wood chips, and a tote bag. So, Elliot, today we were looking for multi-talented individuals. And Kyle put this together because we have our own multi-talented individual right here on the Midday Show.
King drops the throw. And it's hit just as he let the ball go, or did he let it go?
I'll tell you, Hugh Douglas came from that backside and really unloaded on Sean King.
It's the Philadelphia Eagles ball.
The 25, the design rollout by Miller, going for Des White in a woefully underthrown pass, and Jim Miller is holding on to his right arm and shoulder as he comes off the field.
Looks like Hugh Douglas driving Jim Miller into the ground.
You? What do you mean you're out of the deal? You told me you wanted to diversify.
Look here, Stanley. Why should Hugh Douglas get one bull for $100,000 when for that I can get a whole bunch of cows?
Exactly.
Yeah, cows? What are you going to do with cows?
We like steak. Porterhouse.
The way that this team is playing right now, I mean, there's no doubt that defense is in Eric Bieniemy, a legit threat. Those, I can't even get it out now.
I feel attacked.
Stay
out too late. Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say.
I think this is good.
That's what people say.
You have like some flag, some swag.
Living in this big blue world.
world with my head up in outer space. I know I'll be A-O-A-O-K.
This one.
I know I'll be A-O-A-O-K. When I see Trump. Oh, I blew that part.
Elliot, how would you rank the talents of Hugh Douglas? We had an all-pro pass rusher, right? Actor on,
was good,
on our
yeah.
list.
The voice for the acting was like young, smooth Hugh was interesting.
Would you say that Hugh's best attribute is acting? I mean, you have talk show host.
I'm telling you, I think the singing of the CeeLo song was, there was like a unique vibe to that.
Hugh, what would you say you were best at? At your best?
I'm saying it's kind of hard to say, Joe, because I was so talented in everything that I touched. I kind of made it my own.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of hard to say.
Okay.
You know, so if I had to pick one of my multifaceted talents that I was adept at, I would have to say radio host is my best.
Have you been a radio host longer than you were a football player now?
Yes, I have.
Well, so this is your thing.
This is my niche.
You've done more in this.
Yes,
than that.
Well, this is my niche.
Considering your history acting, would you, if you could pick, would you have like had the Eagles Hall of Fame career that you did, or would you have rather been like a massive actor, like a, you know, big time,
like
Leonardo
Denzel,
DiCaprio,
yeah.
Denzel, Brad Pitt?
I mean, I'm kind of in that realm.
I guess that's a good point. You got them both.
Rub elbows with those guys.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Elbows?
Nah, I lied. Okay, that's a lie.
That's a big lie.
That's a big old lie.
All right, 215-592-9494. Multi-talented individual like our Hugh Douglas. Andy in Westchester. What's up, Andy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, what's Andy. Up, what's up?
You took Hugh was my choice. As soon as Kyle asked me the question, then you went right to it.
Now, when you think it, do you think actor? Is it singer? Or is it the football player and the talk show host?
Obviously football player, but outside of that, it's the actor. Actor is the best.
That's what everyone thinks when they hear Hugh.
Yeah, it's acting.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead,
Andrew. Listen to those highlights, Hugh. Just curious, what does it feel like to just level someone like that?
You mean like
Sean King?
Like to take out my frustrations on an individual and not get in trouble for it? Oh, it's liberating.
Like, when you listen to that, do you get excited?
Great.
Like, oh, my God, I wish I could do that.
Well, you know, like you could like put your hands on somebody and no, there's no recourse. That's a great feeling.
Oh,
it's a great feeling.
I can imagine.
If you play today,
I'd probably get fined.
Well, that's what I mean. They'd take your money away.
Yeah, I'd probably get fined.
He wouldn't have played in the game after the Bears game, probably.
No, probably been sitting at home in anger management or something.
But you guys would be in the game.
Miller
so.
Hit, you would have.
Yeah.
So, anyway, before we go on, I'm not really feeling the exciting whites. And I was mentioned to Kyle as well. Like, would you say that that Blankenship and DeGene, they play pretty tight coverage?
I would. Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Tighty whities.
Oh, the tighty whities.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
That's clever.
I mean, there's a lot of nicknames for them. The bread and butter on the afternoon show.
I like exciting whites myself.
Exciting whites, yeah.
Yes.
Bread and butter is good too, though.
Not better than exciting whites.
So do we decide who's bread and who's butter? Did they figure that out?
I think Reed Blankenship is butter. Just, I think he signed the stick of butter.
Okay.
Cooper's
bread.
Office. I think so. Yeah.
All right.
I would see it the other way because I think the jeans more. He's smoother.
So he is smoother. He's definitely. I think you're right, actually, Andy, on this. DeGene is a more smooth athlete.
Well, I'm just saying. I think he did sign a.
Well,
stick
yeah,
of
he
butter.
Was multi-talented though. He's a multi-talented. Yeah.
Basketball too.
Yeah. Yeah. So those highlights.
He can play. He can play.
He can return kicks too.
He can. Should they keep doing that? By the way.
No.
He's too good on defense to be returning punts.
And by the way, assuming Bryce Huff goes on IR, which I would guess he is, that does open it up for Covey.
Is he healthy? It's around that time, right?
It's around that time. I've seen him like doing stuff off to the side. Okay. I've seen
That's
him running.
That's probably why they put him on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I would put Covey back at punt returner. You can't have one of your best players on defense returning punts.
And one that plays like 90% of the snaps
And
now.
Covey's good at returning punts. Like,
yeah.
He might be rusty initially, but, I mean, he was really good at it last year.
You're right on this, Elliot. They should put Covey back there. All right, go ahead, Andy. Super Bowl or bust?
All right. Always. Every year, Super Bowl or bust for me.
But what if they're bad?
I mean, in my mind, every game they play, they're going to win at the beginning of the game. And then I get mad as they
I like that, actually.
As the day progresses.
Right.
Not realistic, but emotional. I like that. That sounds like WIP.
Yeah. And also, since Elliot brought it up, Embiid doesn't deserve anything. He's got to earn it. And that's, I think, where he's been his whole life. Is you think about what it took for Maxey. Maxey has worked his butt off to get where he is.
So he has to have been fed up. And at this point, I hope that the way they feel is, you know, we have galvanized the team. At least we're all together. We're a team. We're on the same page. You're either coming with us or you're not. That's how I hope it's been laid out, and that's where I hope it's going, because it's really, at this point, he's holding everybody back. And I hate to say it, because I won't say an apologizer, but I was a believer.
They can't go nowhere without him. You know, it's frustrating. But, yeah.
They can if they move on after this.
Well,
season.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
I mean,
though.
For this year, he's going to be.
Dude, nobody is trading for Joel Embiid.
Oh, I disagree.
Nobody Someone is taking would. On. So you're telling me there's a world where we all think they should trade Embiid at the end of the year, and a team is taking him? No,
I mean,
there's 4 years left on that
deal.
There's
desperate bad teams in
but
the NBA.
But he is one of he could be the worst contract in the like this is borderline John Wall status. Remember that deal? Washington could ever get off that.
But they did trade it eventually to the Clippers,
didn't
they?
But at the last year when it was an expiring, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Like Joel does.
Well, that contract extension is a disaster.
I agree. It's one of the worst contracts I've seen hand out in my time like covering Philly sports.
Elliot, your guest on tonight, does he play well? Do they play well? I mean, this is a double whammy. You would think he's going to respond mentally. He has to because he was just called out by his friend and teammate. But will he? Can he respond physically? Can he answer that bell?
I think he has it in him at times. Like, they'll have a game where he's awesome and then two games where he isn't. So I think there's a chance, but I've not lost faith in a team quicker in the Sixers team than I have any other team over the past.
2-11 will do that.
It's unbelievable. It's not even the record. It's just Joel and the injury, and Paul George looks mediocre, and it's not good.
All right, Elliot, we end with this. Gut feeling. You could change it by Sunday when we do the pregame show. Gut feeling, another Eagles win?
There'll be no changing of it. I think the Eagles win. I think they're better than the Rams. I think they're playing well. And I'll say this, if they win on Sunday, then it's house money versus Baltimore. Like, whatever happens against Baltimore happens. But you win Sunday, and you know it's okay to go to Baltimore and maybe lose, as long as you compete.
And for the number one seed, this is the bigger game.
Yeah, it's a huge game.
Yeah, we'll do it on Sunday during the pregame show, breaking down the scenarios. But it's really hard to see the path for the Eagles having the number one seed unless they win this game.
I agree.
Because the Lions already beat the Rams, and they got to win this game on Sunday. Elliot, thank you for joining us. And at Bird's Staff. Right,
see you guys later.
We'll see you later. Elliot will be here all day. Guest bartending. All right, coming up on the other side, we continue the show. Your calls, ComboCon, your chance to win the Ultimate Midday Show tailgate giveaway. 215-592-9494. Is this a Super Bowl or bust season now for the Eagles? Ike Reese joins us next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.